Spirits of French Lick is proud to introduce the Lee Sinclair 4-Grain Bottled and Bond Bourbon. This 4-year-aged, double-pot distilled, non-chill-filtered bourbon has creamy, round, and lifting notes with caramel and vanilla, followed by apple, mint, graham cracker, and ginger, as well as cardamom. The finish is slightly French walnut, resolving the sweet, fruity, almost ground cherry and white pepper. Our spirits are available for tasting and purchase inside the French Lick Winery and Distillery. Spirits of French Lick. Respect the grain. Please enjoy responsibly.
What's up, Scotchy Bourbon Boys fans? This is Alan Bishop of If You Have Ghosts, You Have Everything. You may know me better as Indiana's Alchemist.
You have to say
Black
your last
Forest.
Name.
But if you're at all interested in the 4TN, high strangeness, the paranormal, and the unexplained, then you should tune into my new podcast, If You Have Ghosts, You Have Everything. Available now wherever you get your podcast. Including Spotify, Google Podcasts, and Amazon.
Just like Neapolitan ice cream. It's,
All right, everybody. Welcome to the Scotchy Bourbon Boys here at New Orleans Bourbon Festival. Our group is strong. Yeah. We've got Margaret. We've got Brian. We've got Whiskey. We've got Walker with us joining on the first
Walker
live podcast. We've got Roxy. Super Nash, myself Tiny, and we've got Tracy
Napolitano.
Napolitano joining us. He is the co-founder of the New Orleans Bourbon Festival. And we're down here in New Orleans. And thank you for inviting us down.
Yes,
it's been a great
so
time, and it's not over, that's for sure.
Yeah, I know. Thanks for coming. I mean, hopefully everyone's having a good time, not only at the festival, but in our city.
Oh, yes. I mean,
it is awesome.
It's like I've been to a lot of bourbon festivals, all different ones. But and in this case, this is a first class, top notch bourbon festival. But it's unique to itself just by being in New Orleans. I mean, that's one of the great things. We're drinking bourbon in New Orleans, the place where, it, you know, Kentucky, they made it. Shipped it down to New Orleans. Yep, and it got it. You know, the whole thing got its name. But I mean, it's just a fantastic, you know, with the French Quarter. You know, just 10 minutes away or 2 minutes away on a cab, right?
Right.
In their street.
In their street. What's the name of that street, Jeff?
Perfect
Street. Paul Raymond Street. Oh my God, I didn't know.
And I don't know if anyone knows when you look out the windows here. Right behind this building is the river. I mean, this
River
right behind the convention center here. So,
fantastic.
The river walk is right down, actually.
Well, right, like right, right there. Yeah, yeah. It's just it's catty corner across the street from us here.
Nice. Yeah, perfect. I mean, this the one thing. Talk about how you and your wife started it. I mean, or co-founded it together, and how you know it's evolved.
So we had a couple of our friends over, our bourbon friends. Barbara cooked a nice dinner. We're sitting there talking. I was bitching about my current job at the time, and I hated it. And she's like, turns around to the bar. And at the time, I mean, this is 8-9 years ago, I only had a few bottles on the bar, about 300. And she says, do something with this. Now, my wife's a CPA and a CFO of a seafood distribution company here in New Orleans. And I thought she wanted me to sell it because, you know, how much it costs to keep it up. She goes, no, create something. So I told him the idea of what I had about the festival was we went to the Atlanta Wine and Food Festival and Friday night they had this little tent where they were doing like more of American comfort foods, but Four Roses was there, Bullet was there, and they had several little bourbon companies sprinkled in between. I'm like, could we take this tent and do something bigger in New Orleans? Mm-hmm. And that's kind of how we started this. And that year, my wife and I spent 8 weeks traveling back and forth to Kentucky because we didn't know anyone. Knocking on doors and begging people to come. I just introduced Steve Beam and Steve Fonte for their seminar. And the story I told in the introduction was the fact that Steve Beam, when we got there, explained what to do. He started telling us all these family stories about New Orleans. And the next thing out of his mouth was, we're in. I will be there. And from there, we started building it and building momentum. In the beginning, you know, some said, no, we can't. We're not going to come to a first year festival. But by the time we got the marketing done, everything, they're like, hey, you got any more room for us?
Right.
And they started coming. And now we've got brands. I mean, the CAC is full. We actually turned away 15 brands that wanted to participate because we didn't have the room. And this is the first time that's happened. Yeah. 33 seminars is our norm, 41 this year. And they're all packed, as you guys have seen.
Oh, yeah. Right.
Some are standing room only.
And I think that's the big thing that makes the difference of what we're doing is this seminar series. Everybody loves the grand tasting. It's a lot of fun. You're trying all these whiskey, and then we tie in New Orleans food, you know, and not in one place. It's scattered throughout the venue, so you can eat as you go. But these seminars are what I think separates us on the larger scale because we do so many. It's not just a handful, or it's not inside of the four-hour event. It's a whole day, 2 days long.
Well, yeah. And, you know, we this is our first time down here, and I've heard stuff about the past festivals that made me want to come here. But what I really like about this festival is the fact that it's in the Marriott, and the whole festival's in the Marriott. So you had the block room rate, which was fantastic. And then you can be down here and your room's upstairs. There's a convenience that, you know, and then the grand tasting is just a couple blocks
like
away.
You can walk from here to there. Yeah.
Right. And with the size of it, there's no way that could be here. I mean, maybe someday you can just go into the convention center.
Yeah, talking about that, but the building we're in, the Contemporary Arts Center,
was
that with all the brick walls, it looks like it is an old factory. It's an old ice cream factory.
Right.
What it was.
Yeah.
That felt like.
We got to figure out how to fit more in there.
I don't know. Fit a lot in there.
We got to close some streets off around there and do a little more street fair inside. And, you know, we got the big outside piece tented already.
So. Well, that was great, the outside. And then, you know, some people had said the past festivals is really hot and humid, you know, but this weather for the outside festival last night, you could go inside and really have that speakeasy kind of feel, you know. But then you went outside and you had that festival, really nice, comfortable night kind of thing. And everybody.
A little cooler tonight. I think we're getting about 5 or 6 degree drop tonight. Last year was the one most people were talking about it being hot because it just normally, this time of year in New Orleans, why we picked it is very cool.
Yeah.
But last year was unseasonably warm. And,
I know you're running the festival, but what has been your favorite part of this festival this year? I mean, what has stood out that you know, is something that you've imagined and added in come, you know?
So the biggest thing we've added this year is normally we had dinners. We had these, you know, paid dinners throughout. Mm-hmm. We scaled back on those because we're noticing a trend, and I've talked to other festivals that do dinners. Less and less people are buying those tickets. So we scale back to the real popular ones. Like Brent Elliott sells out a dinner like nobody's business. But instead of dinners, we had events where you could buy a ticket. There was food served, sampling of the whiskeys with Dark Arts. Ewa Chingham did an event. Bardstown had an event. Penelope did their speakeasy on Wednesday night. So we're trying to do a little bit more in out the city. So you're getting to see more of the city as well. Normally we kept it fairly contained. But as we're growing, you know, I'd like to see this be a full week-long event in the city.
Well, what was awesome is we flew in on Wednesday, got here, and I texted you. You're like, Pinhook, barrel proof.
Right.
And we went over there. Yeah. And honestly, that kicked off, you know, it was the event, and it pretty much kicked off a really good evening of just going, and then we ended up on Bourbon Street and everything for that first night on Wednesday. And then it was great covering. I mean, the other part you need to talk about is that not all festivals give out awards and have judging.
Yes.
And that's something unique to this festival.
So, and that is my wife's baby. That's her thing. Brands submit their bottles for a blind judging. And there are tons of those around. There are awards programs everywhere. But we set out to do something different, we think. Our VIP, ultimate VIP guests are the judges. You know, love all the judges, know a lot of them that go to San Francisco and go to New York and go to all these. But these guys are the ones buying the bottles. These are the ones drinking it on a daily. So we have them try it. And then when they find out what's wins, they're generally like, oh, I can't believe that one. But you picked it. You liked it. Yeah. So it's an interesting way to do this, I think. I know there's a couple other people doing some consumer type judging. But we strictly just do bourbon, rye, you know, in, you know, American or North American whiskeys.
Yeah.
We were able to interview a lot of those ultimate VIPs that got that experience. And as they were coming out, and one of the things that they were talking about that they really enjoyed was the fact that they were in there and able to sample and taste all those different whiskeys and be able to judge them blind. But not only that, but they got all the different experiences and seminars and classes and the ultimate judging tastings,
right,
all included within that VIP experience. So it's just one big package, and it excited them, they really liked that.
It is our most expensive ticket,
yeah,
but it is an all-inclusive experience at the festival, and there are only 50 of those available.
Yeah,
we will never expand it because it's a very unique opportunity to mingle and mix with everyone as a group, and they get to do everything we offer.
Yeah, and every one of them said that something about that it was unique and it wasn't overcrowded on anything, and that it was a great value for what they paid.
You'll notice at tonight when you're back at the tasting, Saturday's always more crowded than Friday, but we don't oversell tickets to anything because when we go to events, I hate having to wait forever to try something. I generally just go on to the next one. We're trying to eliminate that here. There's over 200 different labels to taste tonight. And we want people to be able to flow through the event, grab a bite of food on your way, taste your whiskey. Hey, look, another bite of food on the way. Let's get that. But we don't want you waiting and standing in a 30-minute line. I mean, there's only 4 hours to the festival, 3 for the general admission and 1 for the VIPs. So, they're here for 4 hours, but they get their own hour.
Yeah, right.
But we want the experience. We don't want people complaining that they have to stand around and not do anything. So.
You know, it's funny you should mention that, but that has to be my favorite part of last night and so far was I was able to go along and get a sample here. But as I was able to go along, all of a sudden here's a food vendor and be able to sample some food. And I mean, each thing was unique and tasty. Yeah. Right along with it.
It's one of the things we noticed in not just whiskey festivals, but other events we've been to. They seem to put the food in one spot. You got to leave the bourbon and go eat food. But you don't think about that while you're sampling. I want to try this. And you're just making the rounds. And if you got to go to the other side of the building to get a bite to eat, you're generally not going to go.
Yeah.
So that's why we sprinkle it into the mix.
The other thing is the food is always right next to the bathrooms. I don't know who thinks that's a good idea, but that's not what I want to smell when I'm getting ready to bite into something.
Yeah, but not here. I mean, not here. They was sprinkled in throughout the whole thing. But other festivals. Nice.
Because we're bourbon and whiskey people, you know, if you have something and it looks good or smells good, you can ask somebody and they'll tell you, where was that? It's right over there in the corner.
Right.
You don't have to wonder where it is. People tell you.
I will say it's quite a great idea. I know your wife works hard on that last night. But seriously, bourbon drinkers, when you're going one after another, you kind of forget about food.
Sure.
You know, you're just one right after, and then all of a sudden, you know, but you need food and you need, you know, water and everything. And that was one thing really cool about last night. You do 3 or 4 and you went, and then there was another food thing. And it's like, then you were thinking about it the whole night. And, that fair didn't get you didn't get stuffed.
Right,
you know?
That's another thing. We put a whole meal in front of you. You're not going to want to drink anymore either because you just ate a big old meal.
You don't want to move.
Yeah, right. Yeah. And you mentioned, like, water is key to these events.
Yeah.
And if you notice, the water were in booths. They weren't in buckets in the middle of the aisle.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to walk along. Oh, wait, I better drink some water too. And you grab a water. This year, for the first time, we have non-alcoholic cocktails, canned cocktails.
I saw that. And I tried one.
Some people are taking and they're putting a little bourbon in them, going a little low-proof cocktail with it. But, you know, we're trying to give everybody, because not everybody who comes here is drinking bourbon.
Yeah.
You know, there are some food-only tickets. We do sell a ticket for people just to come and eat, whether it's the husband taking his bourbon-drinking wife or vice versa.
Right,
you know,
right.
We want to have a little bit for everyone. We partnered with the New Orleans Wine and Food Experience this year. So we actually have a wine bar that has bourbon barrel-aged wines on it. We're going to do at their event in 2 months, I think. They're in May. We're going to do a New Orleans Bourbon Fest Big Bourbon Bar at their event.
Sounds awesome.
Some of these wine guys to drink some whiskey.
All right. We're getting short on time.
Yep.
Let's just talk about real quick. We'll go start with Margaret there. What's your favorite part of the festival?
My favorite part was the Four Roses dinner. It was amazing. The tastings, the pairings, the food was absolutely fantastic. And just to spend so much time hearing about the Four Roses story and Brent, and I thought it was fantastic.
Okay. Cousin.
Cousin. My favorite part was actually last night at all the food tasting and all the bourbon tasting. But I actually really enjoyed Bourbon 101 yesterday. I don't know, you put that together.
That with Matt Wright from the Sizemore House?
Yeah.
That taught me a lot more than I ever knew about bourbon. And I've enjoyed the seminars, listening to the different people talk about how they distill and what they do for their flavors and their taste. But so far, I've really enjoyed it.
Whiskey?
You know, for me, you know, having experienced a lot of festivals, I really think that the access, for me, probably the access to the pours, you know, whether it's, you know, like last night, Dark Arts with their 10-year, Heaven Hill was pouring their 20-year, although I was stood in line and didn't get any, but... maybe I'll see
go
if
there
know
first.
Anybody that can help me out. And I know, like, Heaven Hill today was serving 17-year Heaven Hill and 15-year... 15-year William at Heaven Hill.
It was
15-year Heaven Hill.
It was their Heaven Hill 20-year.
No,
heritage.
It was 17.
It was 17.
And it was heritage. Hands down 17.
Okay, I'm sorry.
I put the bottle in the box.
Okay.
All right. And even as you go through the sessions, if you do sign up for one of the seminars and you get to sit with the distillery, I mean, you're getting access to people that are making the decisions and talking about why they make something a certain flavor or why they're using this piece of wood. But the pours have been pretty exceptional, really, in my opinion. And they're easy to get to. Like, it's not like you have to stand in line 45 deep.
There you go.
You literally can walk up and you get a pour, and then you can move on. So, I mean, you got hats off to you guys for that. That's amazing.
I think we're talking about building the experience. I think the experience of last night and the kind of curated atmosphere where you can walk through. And, you know, I went with each of our folks, and I was having different tastings and different conversations, and we would break off and then we'd get back together and we'd have different tastes and different experiences along that. So the elements that you talk about with the food, the elements that you talk about you going through that experience really carry through, because, and the seminars today as well, I mean, I feel like I'm in four or five different experiences. We were sitting there with Bernie Lovers. I feel like I'm in a book on tape where Bernie is singing along, and then you're going through a tasting with him at the same time. I feel like I'm going through so many different experiences. There's something that everybody can take away, and that, you know, it keeps going.
Yep.
It doesn't feel like you pause for very long. It keeps going.
How about you, Roxy?
Okay, so everybody stole all of mine, so I have to come up with something new. A festival or an event, a bourbon event, has to be something of high quality to bring these type of high quality individuals here. So when we come, it's fantastic to see all of our friends and all the people that we've met in the industry, and, you know, they're here. So it's, you know, it's wonderful to continue to develop those relationships. You know, although we're a podcast, we've made a lot more friends than I could ever imagine making in my life. So.
Yeah, Jeff doesn't have any of
them.
No.
I didn't before this.
All right. I actually have two parts because I actually enjoyed how last night was set up with the food, the bourbon, and then even actually water, boost along the way. But then my absolute favorite was as been able to cover each of these seminars, we've been splitting up. And I actually got to be able to go in and cover Maggie Kimbrell's Bourbon and Cigar Pairing 101. And it didn't actually fill up. So after talking with her, she actually said, "How about sitting down over there?" Gave me a cigar, and I was able to participate and smoke a cigar with Maggie Kimbrell and pair it with some bourbon. So that was my absolute favorite.
That's the hardest seminar for us because, you know, 25 cigars in a box.
Yeah.
And we, yesterday we had a little rain, so it kind of maybe kept somebody away. But that's the hard one because
Rain. So.
Mine is, I just love all the distillery and the people we know in the industry. Coming down here, having them all together and seeing them interact, but then hanging out with people that normally you don't see hanging out together, not just from but two distilleries, and then afterwards or whatever. And then also they all have stuff extra special stuff, and it just starts going, and it's just amazing. So,
Stacy has to go in a couple minutes. Yep. So, Stacy, if there's one,
Tracy,
I'm sorry,
you're calling him Stacy.
That's my sister's name. It happens often.
You told me that. And I think that's why.
My father, yes, Tracy, Stacy,
and Stacy.
Yeah, well, I have my other two sisters: Tracy, Stacy, Mary, Karen. My sister's name is actually Mary Christmas.
There you go.
Call her Mary instead. Yeah.
So she's lost the Christmas so after like a while. Yeah.
Is there a ball player that plays for Rhode Island?
Tracy, is there anything that you'd like to say that we haven't asked?
Wrap this up so you can get out of here.
For me, and this sounds marquee, but my favorite part is we built this festival for our guests and for the industry to meet the people that drink the whiskey. Seeing you guys and meeting—I mean, we met in Kentucky,
yes,
at the Kentucky Festival, and but having you come here and meet you guys, we meet new people every year. But my wife and I can be in Kentucky, we can be in St. Louis. Somebody in the bourbon world is going to recognize us and say, "I love your festival." Yeah. It's the people that come here every year and the people that repeatedly come every year, like VIP, the ultimate VIPs. There's a repeat people every year. They buy their ticket early and they make sure they got their spot.
Yeah. So if somebody isn't here right with us today, but they want to come next year, when do they start watching the website for information? When will tickets go on sale?
We generally, and I don't know if every festival does this, we have three parts of the early bird, if you call it. So sometimes in June, we will put the first set of tickets on sale and we do give a discount. And throughout the early part, leading up to where we start knowing who's coming and all that, we have a little discount sales throughout to get people to get early tickets. So
right.
That way we can know what we're planning, what we got to do, and things like
that. Right, and it also helps you get an influx of money to...
We do a Valentine's Day sale for the bourbon lover. You know, buy your bourbon lover a bourbon festival ticket. We do obviously everybody does a Black Friday sale, and then we do a Christmas...
Great marketing. Yeah. Great marketing. Anyway, all right.
The tickets are not expensive, not cheap, but they're not crazy expensive. But we want to make it where people can afford to come.
I don't know. When you go out to a bar these days, okay, and you have a couple drinks, the tickets are cheaper than that. And then you're talking about a whole evening of tasting, like the grand I mean, it's just insane when someone tries to say to me, "Oh, that's expensive." Yeah. What do you mean? If you're drinking high-end pours from all the different... No, it's not.
If you could have snagged a Heaven Hill 20 in a bar somewhere, that's a $150 pour.
Our tasting ticket this year was $139. It got you in the door for the grand tasting. It gets you to sample whatever whiskey's in there you want to taste. It gets you your food. The only thing we have for sale in the venue is we have some vendors selling our some kind of bourbon theme. You know, one year was furniture, jewelry... Yeah. That's the only thing you would have to spend money on, but you don't need to open your wallet generally when you're in the building, and you can't go out to dinner and eat some of the food we have taste the pours for $139.
No, you sure can't.
She let me know the first day. I mean, man.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Those are worth it. Yeah.
All right, so...
thank you, Tracy. I appreciate you taking time with us.
Thanks, Tracy.
I appreciate you guys coming.
And thanks for having us down here. Yes.
All right.
We just bumped into each other.
He's like, "Come on down." And I'm like, "Hell yeah. That sounds fun." And it's delivering. So thank you. All right. www.scotchybourbonboys.com for all things Scotchy Bourbon Boys. And then check us out on all the Facebook, Instagram, YouTube. And
the festival is at www.NewOrleansBourbonFestival.com. Nice.
All right. Remember, good bourbon equals good times, friends. Drink responsibly. Don't drink and drive. And live your lives dangerously. All right. Thanks, everybody.
Thanks, everybody, for watching.
Hey, Scotchy Bourbon Boys fans, this is Alan Bishop, Indiana's Alchemist of the Black Forest. So I'm tuning in here today to tell you all about the One Piece at a Time Distilling Institute channel on YouTube. If you're at all interested in the art of distilling, whether it be home distilling or professional distilling, and the intense geekery that goes into that process, then check out the One Piece at a Time Distilling Institute on YouTube. I promise you're going to learn something you didn't know before about the arts.